This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And it is a beautiful day to be together in this time of worship. It's my joy to welcome you to this time together. If you're joining us online, we're so glad that the Spirit of Christ keeps us connected in this way. And if you're here in the sanctuary, it is wonderful to see your faces and to be in fellowship with you. If each of you will take a moment and register your attendance, that would be wonderful. Here in the sanctuary, there are registration pads you can sign and pass down the row. Some of you have already been doing that. And if you're worshiping online, there's a link you can place in your browser to let us know that you're with us. In your bulletin this morning, there are lots of announcements about upcoming ministries and opportunities, and there are just a few things I want to highlight. Our all-church retreat is coming up September 15th through 17th, and we're holding registrations open through Tuesday. We have a few rooms left, and if you haven't had a chance to sign up and would like to attend, we would love to have you. It's a wonderful group of mixture of folks, and it's going to be a lot of fun. Our Wednesday night suppers are starting up. We'll have supper available through the month of September, catered by different local restaurants each night. And if you will register and let us know that you're coming, that'll allow us to prepare enough food for you. And then Reverend Will McLean will be leading a class for adults called The Art of Belonging. And we would love to have fellowship and learning with you on Wednesday nights through September. Tomorrow is the Labor Day holiday, so the church offices will be closed. If you have an immediate need, you can call the church number and it will direct you to the pastor on call, and we can help you if you need anything tomorrow. Finally, I just want to highlight that next Sunday at 3 p.m. in the Fourth Story Theater, Doug Berkey is going to be doing a theater piece around the stories of Tolstoy. They're called Toll Stories, and it will be a wonderful event, and any proceeds will go to help the efforts in Ukraine through the United Methodist Committee on Relief. So I want to make sure and get that on your radar if that's something you would enjoy. This morning we are in Mark's Gospel, and we travel with Jesus across the Sea of Galilee and witness an encounter he has with a man in deep need of healing. We are all in need of healing, so let us open ourselves to the Spirit of Christ as we worship together this day.
Thank you. Please join me in the call to worship found in your bulletin. Lord of our hearts, the author and giver of all good things,
increase in us the love of your name.
Increase in us your mercy, nourish us with all goodness,
and bring forth in us the fruit of your grace through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Trusting that God's love for us is unconditional and God's mercy is everlasting, let us make our confession with the confidence of children of God. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. And now, O God, we offer you our individual confessions in silence. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners, and that proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. As forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. The peace of Christ be with you.
Found in your bulletin. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A lesson from the gospel. Mark chapter 5, verses 1 through 20. They came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gerasenes. And when he had stepped out of the boat, immediately a man out of the tombs with an unclean spirit met him. He lived among the tombs, and no one could restrain him anymore, even with a chain. For he had often been restrained with chains and shackles, but the chains he wrenched apart and the shackles he broke in pieces. And no one had the strength to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and on the mountains, he was always howling and bruising himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and bowed down before him, and he shouted at the top of his voice, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I adjure you by God, don't torment me." For he had said to him, "Come out of the man, you unclean spirit." Then Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" He replied, "My name is Legion, for we are many." He begged him earnestly not to send them out of the country. Now on the hillside, a great herd of swine was feeding, and the unclean spirits begged him, "Send us into the swine, let us enter them." So he gave them permission. And the unclean spirits came out and entered the swine, and the herd, numbering about 2,000, rushed down the steep bank into the sea and drowned in the sea. The swineherds ran off and told it in the city and in the country. Then people came to see what it is that had happened. They came to Jesus and saw the demoniac sitting there, clothed and in his right mind. the very man who had had the legion, and they were afraid. Those who had seen what had happened to the demoniac and the swine reported it. Then they began to beg Jesus to leave their neighborhood. As he was getting into the boat, the man who had been possessed by demons begged him that he might be with him. But Jesus refused and said to him, "Go home to your friends and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and what mercy he has shown you." And he went away and began to proclaim in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him, and everybody was amazed. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I'd like to have a moment with any of the children who are here. If you want to come up and join me, I'd love to see you. And if you're worshiping from home, just get a little closer to your screens. Since it's Communion Sunday, the rail's closed here, so we have to go around the side this way. Maybe Pastor Shannon can help you figure out which way to go. And I want to show you something I have in my bag. I could sing, "I've got the whole world in my bag." You can see it because it's a see-through bag. Welcome, welcome. Come on up. Oh my goodness, there's so many of you. I couldn't see you from up here. But here you are. Welcome, welcome. Happy Sunday. I'm so glad you're here. So one of my children made this at school many years ago. You can tell what it is, right? It's the world. It's the earth. It's our planet. And this is about where we are right now. See, that's North America, and Tennessee's right about there, and Nashville's probably right about there. So this is where we're all sitting in church and singing and praying together. There was a time in my life when I moved, flew over the sea, and I moved here, when I lived here in a country called France for a year. And you know what I found when I was living in France? God was there with me too. I could pray and feel God's presence. I could go to church, and even though they spoke a different language, I knew what they were saying, and I felt God's presence with me there. There was one time I went up here, and I had to take a plane and a boat and a train and a bus to get to this little bitty island right there. And you know what? God was there too. I even went over here, and I went to Russia, and I was in Moscow, and you know what? God was there too. What do you think? If I flew all the way over here, if we went all the way here to Australia, you think God would be there too? Yeah, I think so too. What if you got in a rocket and went to the moon? Do you think God would be there? Yes, God would be there, and the moon too, and even on Mars, and as far away as we could go, no matter how far away we might go, God is always with us, and God is always there, there before us, and we can always pray to God and feel like God is with us. The story was about a man who probably felt really, really far away from God. He was by himself, and he was lonely, and he was sick, but Jesus went to find him, and it's just a reminder that God will always know where we are and always be there for us. Let's pray together. Dear God, there are some times when we might feel lonely. We might wonder if you are with us. But thank you for these stories that remind us that you are always with us. And there's nowhere we can go. There's no feeling we can have that will ever remove us from you. Thank you for being with us always. We can always pray and talk to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you for listening. All right, 3-, 4-, and 5-year-olds can go to Children's Church with Pastor Shannon. Oh, good, you can go to Children's Church. Y'all tell me if the world comes bouncing down those stairs. I think it's secure. So we are in the Gospel of Mark this Sunday, And for those of you who are reading through the Bible together this year, you may have found this week a little refreshing. Mark's pretty short. Compared to Isaiah or Jeremiah or 1 and 2 Kings or Job, some of those other longer books, it's like you sit down to read Mark and before you know it, you're done. Most scholars tell us that Mark was the first gospel written, and that Matthew and Luke had Mark in front of them as they wrote their gospel. So we get the basic timeline of those three gospels from Mark's account of the story. Mark doesn't bother telling us about Jesus' birth or anything about his childhood. He doesn't tell us much even about what happens after the resurrection. It's as if Mark was in a hurry to get the story down, to let us know just what he thought was necessary for us to know about Jesus and come to faith in Jesus as the Son of God. It's a fast pace. It's a sprint in many ways. The word immediately shows up again and again in Mark's gospel. If you haven't read the gospel, I would encourage you to go back and just read chapter 1. It won't take you long at all. And just look at all of the things that happen in chapter 1. Jesus is baptized. He's tempted in the wilderness. He chooses his disciples. He goes to the synagogue to teach. He casts out demons. He heals people. He heals Peter's mother-in-law. He heals a leper. Whew. And by the end of chapter 1, Jesus' reputation has spread so far and wide that the crowds are overwhelming. He can't go anywhere out in the open anymore because of the crowds. And so this trend continues throughout these first few chapters of Mark at this breakneck speed. And then at the beginning of chapter 5, Jesus does something a little unexpected, a little bit inefficient even. He leaves behind all of these crowds. There's plenty of work to do still, plenty of people seeking healing and needing demons cast out and all of those things. But Jesus gets in a boat with his disciples and goes all the way across the Sea of Galilee, away from Jewish territory, into Gentile territory. He heals one man, and then he comes back. Now, why would he do that? It could have been a strategic decision. Perhaps he was ready for the good news of who he was to be spread among the Gentiles, and that certainly happens. After this man is healed, he goes and tells his story, and people all through the Decapolis, the 10 cities of the Gentiles, begin to believe. Or it could be that Jesus wanted to find this one man. I wonder if there were times when Jesus was in prayer in the middle of the night and he could hear the cries echoing over the sea, the howling of a man in torment. There's so much about this man's story that is heartbreaking and tragic. Tradition has named him the Gerasene demoniac. He is named for his demons, known as someone who was demon-possessed. We don't know what his name really was. But Mark describes him living among the tombs. He has been forsaken by his family, friends, community, because he is so sick in body, in mind, and spirit. At times, he has even been chained to the tombs, perhaps to protect himself as well as others. Because we hear that when he breaks from the chains, he howls all night and he bruises himself with the stones. I can imagine his friends and family getting to a point where they didn't know what else to do than to separate him, to keep him safe from himself and to keep others safe from him. So I can't imagine anyone more forsaken, more outcast, more on the margins. And the way he's described is scary. It's understandable why people might have been scared to be in his presence. But not Jesus. Jesus gets in a boat, goes to the place where the man is, and walks right up to him. The story is told in sort of an out of order way, but apparently Jesus began, the man didn't ask for healing, he didn't ask for help, but Jesus begins by rebuking the demons and saying, get out of him. And the man comes and falls at his feet and says, what have you to do with me? Can you hear the anguish in that question? What would the Son of God have to do with me? Everybody else has forsaken me. Surely God has too. Surely, Jesus, you have nothing to do with me. And then Jesus asks him his name. And here's where we can see some of the chaos of his mind, because he says, my name is Legion, for we are many. He is one, he is many. There is chaos in his mind. His identity is lost in this illness that he has. And then Jesus casts all of the demons out, sending them into a herd of swine that then go rushing into the sea. That's a whole nother sermon for another day. But we see the man dressed and in his right mind. He is healed. Now, there's so many ways to hear this story and so many different ways it can shape us and our understanding of who Jesus is and who we are. But I'm drawn particularly to one little aspect of this story that I think is an invitation to those of us who follow Jesus, to those of us in the church, the body of Christ. I'll be honest, I don't know quite what to do with and how to interpret the demon possessions that we see in the Gospels. It's a core piece of Jesus' ministry, casting out demons. And I know that our understanding in the 21st century may be different from the culture in Jesus' day, but I do think there are many people in our day who are tortured in spirit and in mind, who struggle with mental illness in ways that can be scary to others. And I wonder, as we see Jesus walk right up to this man with no fear, what calling that has on us in the church. How are we called to be in ministry with those who are sick in mind and spirit? Our culture has not done a good job, really, of offering help and solace and resources to folks. Many of us have people in our families who struggle with severe mental illness. And if you do, you know how hard it is to find a way forward for these loved ones. But in my previous church, there was a beautiful ministry that I want to tell you about. Every Wednesday afternoon, I had the opportunity to go and facilitate a Bible study at the Center for Living and Learning. The Center for Living and Learning was started by Scooter and Fran Clippard, and Diane and Buddy Benedict, Buddy who was one of the pastors of this congregation. Diane and Fran had a brother with severe schizophrenia. And their family struggled for many years to help him live in some way with dignity and in community. And because they were a family with creativity and resources, they bought a piece of land south of Franklin and in Leaper's Fork, this beautiful piece of land. And there's a house on it that they turned into a group home for adults living with schizophrenia. And these friends would come to church on Sunday together and worship as part of our congregation. Some of them would come to Wednesday night suppers. And I or one of the pastors would go once a week and facilitate Bible study. Many of them had jobs in the community. But it was a beautiful, safe, loving place for them to be. Now, in the congregation, we weren't physicians, we weren't psychiatrists, we couldn't treat their illness in that way, but we could offer them connection and community as part of the body of Christ. That's one way that I've seen a congregation move toward folks who are dealing with these kinds of illnesses. In our congregation recently, I've had some conversations with some folks who are feeling the nudge of the Spirit to perhaps begin some ministries in this place where people can come and talk about mental health, Now, many of us don't struggle with the severe diagnoses like schizophrenia or some of the others, but anxiety, depression, addiction, healing from childhood trauma. For a lot of folks, they feel like they can't talk about that stuff at church. Like it should be isolated, as this man from Gerasa was isolated. That somehow Jesus has nothing to do with that part of our life together. But one thing this story teaches us is that Jesus has everything to do with that kind of wholeness and healing. So I would invite you to be in prayer for this aspect of our ministry and for those who are feeling called to it. Are there ways that we can make space to talk with one another, to be vulnerable with one another, to support one another on our journeys of mental and spiritual health? Because the truth is, Jesus does have everything to do with that. It's a curious ending to this story. This man throws himself at Jesus' feet and says, "Please take me with you. I want to follow you." Which is no surprise. This life that he has left behind has been full of pain and isolation. But Jesus does a strange thing. You would think if someone says, "I want to follow you," Jesus would be like, "Come on, get in the boat, let's go." But he doesn't. He says, "No. Go back to your friends. Go back to your community and tell them all that Jesus has done for you." It is the final piece of this man's healing to be restored to community. Which tells me that as followers of Christ in a community built by the love and grace of Christ, we all need the wholeness that's offered in community and in relationship. And how are we called to better open our arms and open our doors to all, no matter their struggles, to be a safe place where we can know that Jesus has everything to do with every aspect of our lives. Thanks be to God.
Friends, I invite you to rise in body or in spirit as together we proclaim the content of our hope and our faith, the Apostles' Creed. You can find the Apostles' Creed in your bulletin or in the hymnal on page 882. Church, in what do you believe? I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who is conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and buried. He descended to the dead, and on the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven, is seated at the right hand of the Father, and will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. One of the ways that God's Spirit is cultivating our life together as Christian community is in the sharing of our prayer concerns with one another. As we move toward this moment of corporate prayer, we also invite you to pray silently from your seats, or if you would like to share your prayer concerns with our pastoral team that we might lift them up throughout the remainder of the week, you can see the pew card in your pew. It's a gray card. You can drop it in the offering basket at the appropriate time during the offertory song. And then those of you who are worshiping online can follow the appropriate link so that we can be in prayer with you. God is forming us to be a people who are companions in joy and also in sorrow. And so today we celebrate the birth of Celeste Casey Wilson. She'll go by Cece, who was born on August 17th to Bob and Ann Walker Wilson. She's welcomed also by her grandmother Celeste Reed, grandfather Mark Harrison, Aunt Celeste Shaughnessy, and great-uncles Jim, John, and Casey Reed. We also are companions in sorrow and mourning this week with Carol Ann McSwinney, the family of Carol Ann McSwinney, who passed away on Tuesday, August 29th. Among her survivors is her sister, Sue McSwinney, and services will be held at a later date. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. God of compassion, Your Son, Jesus, was brought all who were sick or possessed by a power beyond themselves. Visit today all who feel they're in the grip of a power that is not of you. Be among, within, and beside those who struggle with addiction to substance or to a destructive pattern of life. Be among, within, and beside those who struggle and live with a compulsion towards self-harm. Be among, within, and beside those who have a disordered view of their body and the nourishment it needs. Give strength and endurance to your children who are subjected to epileptic attacks or other conditions that leave them feeling life is out of control and enshrouded by fear of the unknown. Come close, O God, to children and parents and partners and friends who find that their loved one's character and mental state is slowly changing before their eyes. And give them grace to find words of truth and moments of trust in which to name the reality of their fear and their despair. Form in us, your church, a people who are patiently present with those whose present suffering makes them difficult to bear. Lead those who are unwell and unkept and unhinged to this communion, knowing that they need not shrink back in shame, O God, but that they can belong in this place and among these your people. And in all these things, liberate us from the dominion of the powers not of you, by the power of your Holy Spirit, we might become whole and healed, sharing the good news among all our friends because of the ministry of Jesus Christ. It's in his name that we pray. Amen. Friends, this time we move to our offering, and you can give online following the appropriate link, or you can give as the baskets, the offering plates are passed through your pew. Friends, we give this day in response to the graciousness of God, which is abundant and always provides immeasurably more than we could ever expect or imagine. Might we give in response to this good and gracious God.
Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give God thanks and praise.
It is right, and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, loving God, creator of heaven and earth. You formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God, and spoke to us through your prophets. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. Your Spirit anointed him to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed, and to announce that the time had come when you would save your people. He healed those who were sick in body, mind, and spirit. He soothed the tormented, comforted the afflicted, and afflicted the comfortable. He fed the hungry, broke bread with the crowds, and ate with sinners. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you and gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us, as together we sing the mystery of faith. Spirit on all who are gathered, and on this gift of bread and the cup. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood.
By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Saying the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
My friends, the body of Christ is broken and given to you and to me and to all the world. The blood of Christ is poured out for all, that we might know grace and salvation. The table is set. Our host is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ himself, and he welcomes all to this table. All who are here and all who are not here are welcome at this table. You do not have to be a United Methodist. You don't have to be anything at all, but willing to come and receive. If this is your first time to receive communion in this particular congregation, I'll share just a few words of instruction for you. You will be invited to come forward and kneel at the altar rails to receive in that way. Our choir will be served first, followed by those in the transepts and balcony, and then the rest in the center. As you kneel, if you will have your hands open if you have yet to be served, that helps our servers know that you need to be served. After receiving, you're welcome to stay and pray as long as you would like. If you are unable or feel uncomfortable coming forward, I'll be making my way around the sanctuary with prepackaged elements and will serve you in your seats. All of our elements are gluten-free. And every time we come forward for the Sacrament of Communion, we have an opportunity to give a second-mile gift to one of the ministries of our congregation. And this month's communion offering goes to support the United Methodist Campus Ministries here in Nashville, Belmont, Vanderbilt, Fisk, and TSU campuses. Some of you may know that in this past year, our annual conference has had to radically reduce the amount of funding they're able to provide to these ministries. So we hope that churches like West End and others can step up to make up that difference. These are spaces where students can connect with each other and deepen their faith and encounter Jesus, maybe even for the first time. Conversation, food, fellowship, missions, and ministry happen in unique ways on college campuses. So I hope that you will pray for these students and give as you feel led. But now the time has come to feast at this heavenly banquet. We invite you to come just as you are and receive this grace. Will you rise in body or in spirit and join with me in giving thanks for what we have just received? You have given yourself to us, Lord. Your love has made us a new people. Your glory has filled our hearts.
Help us to glorify you in all things.
Amen. May we go from this place with the assurance there is nowhere we can go where Christ will not find us. As those who have been found, let us go from this place to continue the ministry of Christ, to find those who are lost. In Jesus' name we go. Amen.